You're listening to the Tarhurst End podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
It is a pleasure to have you with us today for another Reading FC interview on the Tarhurst End podcast. I am your host, Mark Mayer, and I recently caught up with former Royal striker Leroy Leiter to discuss his career with the club. Signing in 2005 as the club's first £1 million player, Leiter scored a bunch of memorable goals, including against Crystal Palace, Middlesbrough and Chelsea. All of that is up for discussion, plus a promotion, relegation, exit and a future career in the dugout. As ever, a big thanks to our sponsor, ZCZ Films. And without further ado, enjoy the Tarhurst End meets Leroy Leiter.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Leroy Leiter, thank you very much for joining us tonight on the Tarhurst End. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us. How's it going?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. And we were just talking then off air about the way Reading are going at the moment with the sort of topsy-turvy starts of the season. We're talking the day after Reading's 3-0 defeat to Preston. How are you following the club at the moment?
I'll tell you the truth, I don't follow too closely. There's no one there that I know anymore, really. So, but they've started off well. And, you know, I've checked the results like the last few weeks and that. And then they had an unbeaten start. Had a few shouts about going for the record. But, yeah, I don't think that'll happen. The championship's tough. And hopefully they keep going this season and get back in the Premier League.
Yeah, there once was a very good team that set the championship record. And I don't think that's going to be beaten anytime soon, is it?
It will be beaten, but not sure this team will do it, though.
That's fair enough. Well, you signed in 2005, and I'll have a little talk through your very interesting career with the club now. And as I say, signed in 2005, and this is a bit of a fun moment for me, actually, as with Reading's first £1 million player, and I was, I must have been 11 or 12 at the time, decided to get Leiter on the back of my 2005-06 shirt.
Where is it? And then, show me it.
you can trust me that it doesn't fit me anymore either, actually.
No, I'm joking. It's all good.
But that same player, actually, is the parade lap of honour after the championship trophy was won at the end of the season. That same Leroy Leiter gave me a bit of a thumbs up as I pointed to the back of my shirt at the bottom of the East Stand. So that was a brilliant moment for a young fan. So thank you for that. And it's lovely to be talking to you this evening. How did it feel to be Reading's first £1 million player?
I didn't feel anything about that. That was talked about outside my mind or my space. So I had a target to get to where I wanted to. That's all my focus was. And I didn't really think about that too much at all, in fact. So.
And what were the circumstances of the move coming about? You're doing quite well at Bristol City. There was obviously, I'd imagine, so quite a few different teams interested.
Yeah, I was in my last year of my contract at Bristol and was in talks for about 6 months for a new one. I hadn't signed there and I had a good season, obviously. Then clubs come in and, you know, Reading was one that, you know, they made me feel good about the place and, you know, I was happy to move on, progress in my career onto the next the league above and, you know, challenge myself there.
You came in with Steve Coppell as the manager. What were your first impressions of him? Because as fans, we had an impression of him as being quite quiet, quite understated. How did you find him when you first came to the club?
I always had respect for him before I got there because he's the man who gave my hero a chance in the game. So I always had a lot of respect for him. Getting to know him, yeah, he's quiet, but yeah, we had a good team spirit and he's pretty easygoing. And another thing I always remember is whenever we weren't playing too bad, too great in the first half, in the second half of games, we'd always improve on the games that we played bad in. He never came in the change room screaming and shouting. He was always calm, always just said how it was and what we needed to do. And, you know, he had the players on board and we all believed in him and he believed in us. And, you know, we did well for him.
Yeah, I take it you're talking about Ian Wright as the player who you're saying Steve gave the chance to.
Yeah.
And how does that work as, you know, for a player coming into a team to play under someone who, you know, you've seen on the TV for years as you're growing up, who's been a big part of English football. How did that sort of play in your mind as you came in?
No, it didn't play on my mind. It was just nice to, you know, have that connection, you know. Ian Wright was my hero. I loved the guy to bits. yeah, and it was nice to, you know, have a little connection to him. So that's what it was. It was good times.
Good. And you had quite a few different personalities in that dressing room, players like Marcus Hahnemann, Dave Kitson, Glenn Little. Who were your sort of players that you sort of clicked with in that dressing room?
I think, got on with most lads. Kits was different. The players you just mentioned, Marcus was very different. Most of my time with people like Sonko, I lived with him when I just moved there for a little bit till my house was ready. But then I was only 20, I think, when I moved there, 19 or 20, I'm not sure. But I had a good relationship with people like Johnny Hayes and Darren Stapleton and them guys, you know, the ones that are similar to my age. But yeah, Sonko in the first team, probably Sonko, I got on with everyone. Harps was a great character, big personality in the change room. A lot to say, but funny. So it's all a mixture of people, and you know, it's a good mix.
How was that living with Ibrahima Sonko then? That's two players at the sort of kind of at the start of their career, certainly in their biggest sort of moment of their career, that moment.
Yeah, Sonko is a great guy, man. He's a great person, and you know, he helped me out a lot when I moved there, and then showed me around and looked after me, even cooked for me and that. So yeah, I still speak to him now, and he's a great guy, and he was a good player for us as well.
Yeah, and as we get into your first 6 months or so in the in a Reading shirt, there was probably the defining moment to kick you off was the Crystal Palace overhead kick, which was, I think, in a game that was voted the best ever game at the Medeski Stadium at one point. And that was, as a goal itself, was pretty special. What are your memories of that?
Yeah, I remember it being the build-up being a big game, because they obviously just got relegated and we started off well, and going into that game, everyone's saying this one we'll definitely lose, and you know, we managed to win 3-2, if I'm correct, and Sonko scored a winner, didn't he? I remember that. Sonko scored a winner. Yes. It was a great game, great night. Good goal as well. Enjoyable time, and yeah, I remember that game very well. It was a good one.
And as you hit the ground running pretty well, I seem to remember there was minor talk of maybe a quick fire move away from Reading. Obviously, the Premier League probably talking and all that sort of stuff. Was there anything about when it came around to sort of January time? Were you ever maybe had a little dangle of a Premier League opportunity in front of you at that point, or was it all just Reading?
Not that I know of in the first season. I wasn't even thinking about that, because we was flying, we was all just focusing our job, you know, getting promoted. And yeah, I didn't even think about it in the first season. After that, maybe, yeah, but not the first season, not one bit.
No, absolutely. And the thing is, with the record and everything, we look back on it now and it all seems so easy and everything, but there must have been a moment when, as this team was progressing, obviously lost the first game of the season, but from then on, went all the way until February without losing a championship game. At what point did you first sit back and think, this is something really special going on here?
Probably at the time, didn't even think about that. Probably after we all left, because we all you watch a championship. It's the hardest league out of all of them. So, it was unreal achievement. But yeah, we weren't thinking about the point. I think we lost two games all season. Was it two games all season? Luton and Plymouth for the first one. So we just set our targets each month, and I didn't realise we went all the way to February without losing. So that was one game a year, really, in the champ. That's what I'm doing, and it'll take some doing again. So yeah, I'm proud of that achievement, being a part of that achievement. So yeah, it's a nice one to have and receive it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the thing, I suppose with the championship you're playing, you know, every 3 days or so, is that a good thing for a player at that stage, when you just think, okay, we've won one game, but you know, we've got a game 3 days later, you don't really get a chance to think so much, do you, in the championship?
No, which is a good thing. You don't want too much time to think. So yeah, it's good that we played a lot of the games Saturday, Tuesday. So it's tough, but if you're doing well and you're flying, it's enjoyable. So yeah, we made the most of it at the time, and you know, we got to where we wanted to be.
Yeah, and it must have been tough as well, because you came in obviously as the sort of star signing, but we had Dave Kitson as well at the club, who had been there for about a year or two. Kevin Doyle came in as a bit of a surprise, and there was Shane Long floating around in the background. Who was your favourite strike partner to have in that period, and why?
I didn't care as long as I was on the pitch. I knew, but one thing with the four of us at the time, we knew who, if you go in the team, you do well, you stay in, and we all respected that. And I think that was important, because we didn't, you know, we encourage each other. So if you're on a team, we know if someone gets in, you're in. And if you do well, you keep your spot. So, yeah, it worked out well for everybody. And everyone, you know, you couldn't complain. So when you're in a team, you do well, you score, you're in, we win, we stay in. So we couldn't complain at all. And that was really important.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? When you sat there on the bench and you're watching your two other teammates playing, and, you know, maybe they are having a difficult game or something, but you kind of sat there, rest assured, knowing that if they do have a difficult game, you are going to get your opportunity to come back into the team, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. As I said, the manager made us all feel that way, so we knew we couldn't go knocking on his office and moaning or anything like that, so, which, as I say, you can't ask for anymore.
Yeah, and there was also the West Brom game in that season as well, was just one of the mad ones that you had with a hat trick scored, and that famous celebration leaping on poor old Ron Grant, the kit man, who was really an integral part of the club, as even though you wouldn't usually suspect the kit man being that integral part.
No, right, yeah, everybody loved Ron. Great guy, great spirit about him, good energy. Always had a smile on his face, and, you know, he's just a big part of the team. I know he's a kit man, but there's loads of people that was in the background that are very important to a successful team, and Ron was a major part of that in that game. Yeah, I hope his hip's all right, because I heard he hurt himself after that. But yeah, it was a great night, and I think it was 2-0 down, and we managed to pull it back and win 3-2. So yeah, it was another good night for that season.
Yeah, and those sort of things. I suppose in a way, when you're playing a championship season and you've got a good title challenge going, are the cup games and everything like that, are they just kind of little extras? Are you really too bothered about that, or for you?
No, we was doing well, so every game was, you know, we was looking forward to. So we was flying, and we just wanted to win. Or whoever we played, we fancied ourselves. We got to play at Highbury as well that season. I think it was Highbury's last year, maybe a year after that. You know, they moved on, but yeah, it's cup games. It matters. It's just an extra game and a bonus, and we still wanted to do well. So we had a little run, and it was good. And it got players who weren't playing an opportunity to have a game. So it's good.
Yeah, when your own season kind of came to an abrupt end with a broken ankle, I think it was, against Burnley. Was that a sort of, you know, was that a big worry for yourself? Were you just thinking, well, it's okay, we're going to get the promotion, then I'll get myself back fit for that? Were you pretty confident that you weren't going to be missing a sort of, you know, nervy end?
Yeah, at the time when you do it, you worry, you have all sorts of thoughts. But as soon as I got to the hospital, they said it's a clean break, no ligament damage. And I was quite young still, and you should be fine. And I was back running within 6 weeks. So, without a cast, then, or I was taking a cast. I had an air cast, so I would take it off and walk anyway, because I had it pinned, and I was doing weights on it just so my leg didn't go. Like, you know, when you break your leg, you have a cast, a proper cast. Leg gets skinny, you have to build a muscle and all that. So I didn't have all that to do, because I was taking the air cast off and keeping my strength. Within 6 weeks, I was back running, and yeah, it worked out well for me.
Yeah, I suppose that is quite a quick turnaround, because those sort of injuries, I suppose as a player, when you are sat on a pitch, you know, waiting for whatever physios to come on or whatever, and this is one of the moments that fans don't really know what goes through a player's head as you sat there. Obviously, it hurts like heck, but you sat there, you know, what sort of goes through your mind as that sort of thing happens?
Well, to be honest, they gave me that gas, so I was like, they gave me the gas to help with the pain, so I rang my mum up at the time, and she asked me, what are you doing? And you know, I'm meant to be playing football. I was laughing on the phone to her, telling her, yeah, I think I broke my leg. So on the way to the hospital. So yeah, I didn't have too much time to think till after. And then I even managed to get back on the team bus with the players and everyone else, so on the way back. So I didn't stay in hospital. By the time they finished the game, I think I did it in the first half, so got to the hospital, got looked, checked out, x-rayed, cast on and everything like that, and then managed to travel back with the team as well. So didn't have too much time to think about it. Everyone just, you know, wishing me the best. And I remember Burnley fans as well as Reading fans sent me, like, I had over 1,000 mail from Burnley fans saying get well soon, which was really nice. And, you know, I appreciated it at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And a nice little 3 points that they saw out for you as well.
Yeah, 3-0. 3-0, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which was useful. And then the team saw it out pretty comfortably in the end. And what are your memories of the celebrations then, with the Leicester game being the promotion game? Were you pretty excited going to that because you knew that you weren't going to have to, you know, I suppose in a way it's difficult because you know you're not going to have to deal with the pressure, but you're also probably going to miss out on maybe being the person who scores that winning goal.
I wasn't at Leicester. I didn't go to that game because I was on crutches. I was at my girlfriend at times family's wedding.
Oh, nice.
And I was just on my phone checking how we're getting on, and then I just obviously got the news, and I was with my ex girlfriend at times family and that. So I just said we've been promoted, and everyone said congratulations, and I wasn't with the team, and I watched all the celebrations, and the gaffer throwing his jacket in the in with the fans and stuff like that. Yeah, so I wasn't actually at the Leicester stadium, so but I got the result on my phone and everything like that.
Yeah, I suppose you can't even go too mad on the dance floor if you're on crutches at the time. That'd be a pretty sad way to.
Don't worry, we had loads of celebrations. We had loads. There was a few parties. I think from that point on to the end of the season, there was a lot going on. Then yeah, we celebrated. We really enjoyed it. There's a lot of functions on to celebrate Reading's first time in the Premier League, top flight in the Premier League. I didn't miss too much.
No, don't feel too sorry for you, I suppose, in that sense. And the derby game as well with the trophy lift, what were your sort of feelings going up to that? When you wake up on the morning of the... Because the trophy lift, I think, was done... There was a trophy lift after derby, I think.
Lift was at a QPR game.
QPR, that was it. I was thinking the derby is when the title was won, wasn't it?
That's when Murty scored that. No, Murty scored on last day. That's when we won as champions, yeah. I was there. I was at the stadium celebrating with the boys. I still had my suit on. We all went up in the stand and, you know, cheering the fans on the pitch. I remember that. Yeah, it was a good time. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, and there's also the bus parade and everything like that. And you settled down. I suppose it's interesting. You settled down after all this as sit in your flat or your house or whatever after that. And do you sort of have a time to reflect in the sort of weeks after that and into the summer? Do you sit down and maybe go back through the results and think about what you've achieved, or are you straight on to the next season?
No. I'll speak for myself. I was just like, wow, we're in the Premier League now. You know, this has been my dream to play at this level all my life from a young boy. So just looking forward to it. And then just obviously you get a bit thinking, how are we going to do? And waiting for the first game, the fixtures to come out and everything. Now you're thinking, oh, don't give us a good run at the beginning. But yeah, we got Middlesbrough the first game. So I just made sure I had to get myself fully fit. And that was just my main focus, and make sure my leg doesn't go again and anything like that. And it worked out all right. And we started the season pretty well.
Yeah, you had a bit of a part to play in that Middlesbrough game, didn't you? And that was I suppose that's a classic example of sort of striker's instinct, because when Reading get back to 2-2, obviously the ball sort of bouncing around the 6-yard box, the natural urge, I think, of most people or footballers might have been to jump in and kind of kick about, flail a leg in there, but you hang back, wait, the ball
just
comes through.
Just waiting for the loose moment. Waiting for the loose moment to pounce, and then I got lucky, and then a few ricochets. I remember Doyle battling his heart out to try and get something, and you know he probably created that goal because he never gave up on it, and it fell loose to me, and I just smashed it in from a couple of yards.
And is that's a moment as a fan, you kind of you know scoring a goal as on the park or in a stadium, it feels pretty good. But is that a moment? Was that just pure? Almost a relief for yourself with the injuries and everything like that? You get into the Premier League, you've fought for this in your entire career. Was that moment when you did have a lot of relief as much as anything?
Yeah, I didn't think about the injury. I even scored with the leg that I injured. So I just thought, you know, dream come true, scoring a goal in the Premier League and on your Premier League debut, and we won 3-2 and it was a winner, everything like that. So it was a great start, but didn't dwell on it too much and, you know, just kept it moving.
Yeah, and that season obviously was such an amazing season for Reading, but the results, you know, in the Premier League, you're not going to win every week, certainly like the team was doing the season before. So on an individual level, what was the toughest challenge for yourself in the Premier League?
I was left out a lot. Well, we weren't winning regular as regulars in the Championship, so I remember, you know, being a bit frustrated up until Christmas or something like that, November, Christmas, I was being a bit frustrated and trying to find form and consistency. So, yeah, I was a bit, you know, beating myself up a bit about it, but the team was doing well, so you have to just keep going.
Yeah, and there's also the sort of, that was when the England under 21 stuff started coming through for you as well, with that Euros that you went to with the England under 21 was an absolute epic for a number of reasons in 2007. What are your memories of that as a tournament and being around that sort of squad? Because obviously Reading is a completely different atmosphere, I guess, from being around a team of young and perhaps even more talented players.
Yeah, I was involved with the 21s when I was at Bristol before Reading. So I know, and I've been involved in a setup before, but yeah, to go to that tournament, to be selected, and it was, you know, a proud moment. And yeah, the tournament was a great experience. And I think we was away for 3 weeks in Holland or 4 weeks. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think the team we had there, you know, it's a bit disappointing that we didn't go on to win it. You know, we lost in the semi-final to the eventual winners, but yeah, we should have gone all the way with that team, but overall, it was a great experience to represent the country. And I remember all my friends being on holiday, watching the games, wherever they were, in Greece or Spain, wherever they were, give me a call. And they're really enjoying them. So they all watched the game. And yeah, it made me feel like when I used to watch the senior team as a kid with my friends. And I felt proud.
Yeah, and that season as well. I'll take you back a little bit now, if I can, to your earliest days in the game, in your days with Chelsea. And I wanted to ask you memories of playing in the youth team there. And I wanted to ask you if you're a Chelsea fan, I think I might have read somewhere that you were, and how that then led to yourself scoring at Stamford Bridge in that Boxing Day game.
Yeah, I'm a Chelsea fan. I was there. I was from my 13-year-old to, I got released when I was 16 as well. So, they released me and told me I was too small, which never made sense to me because one of my biggest attributes was in here. it was nice to go back then. You know, I think we drew 2-2 and I scored one of the goals. I didn't think about it too much. Didn't think Chelsea didn't win the title that year. I think Man United were not doing it. But yeah, scoring at Stamford Bridge against the team you support, it's one of the things you look at after. Look back at after you finish playing, I think. At the time, you don't think about it. It's just another game for you.
Yeah, in that time at Chelsea, what sort of players were you playing around with then? As you say, you're in sort of mid-teens, and then at 16, especially as a supporter of the club, it must be difficult to then be told that you're being let go. How was that as an experience for you?
Yeah, the players we had, I remember I used to have 2 days off school a week to go and train with in my last year of school, I had 2 days off a week to go and train with the reserves and first team. So, you know, I was around some good players and some world class players at the time as well. So it was nice to be, you know, considered. And I always thought they're dragging me out of school, maybe because they're looking for me to get used to being around them next year. But it didn't work out that way. And what was the other question? I forgot.
It's just about the sort of being let go
Well, at that time I thought my whole world was over, but you know, you have to dust yourself down and pick yourself up and go again, and you know refocus. And I made some calls to clubs and myself, and you know, went on trial and stuff, so I didn't give it up and you know, just kept going.
No, absolutely. And I'm gonna talk about one game that I think, as just looking through your stats and everything and from remembering it at the time, I've always thought this must have been your most satisfying game in the Premier League that season. And that was the 2-0 win at Man City in March. You got both goals. Obviously, Man City have gone on to be like a massive, massive team. They were a good team at the time, but two late goals for yourself. And it was just one of those games that really announced or showed that Reading were a top class Premier League team. And I was wondering whether you agreed with that as potentially being your most satisfying game in the Premier League.
I'd have to look back at it more and rethink how I felt at the time and watch the game again. No, I don't. Yeah, it was a good day. Good away win for us because no one expected us to go there and win 2-0. But I remember I just scored a hat-trick that game. I got one disallowed. So if we had VAR then, it would have been fine. But yeah, but it's a great win for the club. And I think the fans enjoyed that as well. I remember we took a lot up there and remember seeing them all. Yeah, a lot of fans up, Reading fans up. So that speak to me or send me messages. They always remind me of that game and how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, how much did you come across sort of Reading fans out and about the town? Because I'd imagine whether nowadays, I suppose just about then people sort of camera phones or whatever are good enough. Nowadays you'd have someone with an iPhone or whatever and people would ask to take photos. But as yourself, when is that sort of time period being a player, maybe going about?
Yeah, well, I'm not that old. They had phone videos and cameras when I was playing. I'm not that old, mate.
It'd be terrible quality. I remember I had one at the time.
I wish it was. I lived in Wokingham, so I was around a lot of Reading fans. I remember my neighbours putting a badge facing my house so I could see that they're Reading fans and everything like that. So, I bumped into them all the time and spoke to loads of people because, you know, it's a small area and a lot of people down there support their local team.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And living in Wokingham, you'll definitely get a lot of Reading fans around there. And the next summer, things sort of keep going on for Reading. And the club, I suppose the nature of the club didn't really change at all over the following summer. A couple of players left, sort of Steve Sidwell left, didn't he? But the next season came about. And it, generally speaking, the next season started okay. And at what point did you sort of start to realise that maybe this team was heading towards relegation?
No, I don't think that at all. But I think that what the club did wrong, they should have moved a lot of players on because a lot of players that just wanted to move on to the next stage of their career. But from their side, you got to understand they've got a team that did really well the previous year. They've got to try and keep it together. But I personally think they should have let a lot of people move on that second year. But didn't work out. And it was a lot of upset players in the change room. People had their own mindset on what they wanted to do, including me. I wanted to move on to the next level where I had the clubs coming in for me and Reading asking for whatever the fee were asking the clubs that came in, I would have gone to. So, it's one of them. And there was a lot of players in that position, and you know, as football. But I think, as I said, the club are always trying to do what's best for them.
Yeah, what sort of clubs were coming in for you then? What sort of level do you think that you were sort of attaining to reach at that point then?
I don't want to go into that, but the one that I would love to have played for Martin O'Neill at Villa. So he came in for me, but Reading wanted a different fee at the time, and it didn't happen. I would love to play for him because I've heard loads of good things about him from different players and different people. So yeah, that was one I would have liked, because you know, you can't do well at Villa, it's a big club, and then you do well then and you go to that next level after that to a bigger club. But it didn't happen, and you know, that's football, you move on.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? You spent a month on loan out of Charlton that season as well, and I suppose was it quite difficult for you to drop back down to the Championship? Or is it only really a month sort of thing?
Not one bit. I was desperate to get out and I wasn't playing. I told them at the time, and I wasn't even in the squad, so it's wasting my time. I said, I couldn't sign anywhere permanently, so, and the only way I can go and play is go on loan, and going on loan, you could only go to the Championship, so that's what I did to get some football.
Yeah, well, you came back for there was that last few games, came back, and Reading kind of needed to get, you know, something that ultimately they didn't get. There was a couple more wins, or just one more point even would have done the trick. One of the games that I was at, and I obviously remember quite well, is the Derby game that you scored what I think is the last goal of the 4-0 win you scored. And I seem to remember after that goal, obviously that 93rd minute, I think, did you have an idea that maybe Fulham had scored at that point? Because it kind of felt like, you know, from the stands it was over.
Yeah, we knew. You can tell straight away that we're down. You can see our fans and people crying and little kids crying. So you could see that everyone knew the score at the time. So yeah, it didn't take a rocket science to work out that we'd been relegated.
Yeah, I do remember one of the, I have no idea if you remember this, but I seem to remember you taking probably the longest walk back to your own half that I've ever seen a player take after scoring a goal, after scoring that goal against Derby. And I wondered if you could remember that moment and sort of what was going through your mind.
Well, we'd done what we needed to do, but, you know, it wasn't enough at the end. So I wasn't really thinking, it wasn't about me. I wasn't thinking about anything myself personally, just thinking, well, it doesn't sound too good because fans will be screaming. You would know that you feel the energy if it was the score went our way down that Fulham, where they played Portsmouth, didn't they?
Yeah.
They won 1-0. I remember Danny Murphy scored a penalty or something like that. Yeah, I remember that day. And yeah, you just knew he was down and it's not a nice day. And then just got back in the change room and said we had a go. And, you know, we move on, we go again.
Yeah, Portsmouth playing in the FA Cup final a week later. If they wouldn't have been playing that game, you never know what sort of stuff comes about. But I suppose that's the way football works quite a lot of time, isn't it?
Oh, ifs and buts. You can't feel like that. It's what is done is done, isn't it? You can't undo it. You can undo it. So we knew we were down, and you know, we can't blame no one but ourselves. We weren't good enough to stay up that year. So, and that was our fault.
Yeah, absolutely. And back in the Championship then again, I suppose it's kind of, it feels a bit sort of sad talking about, but it kind of didn't really work out too much. You were released at the end of that season. Did you kind of feel optimistic as you left the club being released? Did you kind of feel like it was the end of an era for yourself?
We got one in the Championship, was it? We're going back in the Championship. Well, 2 years, one, no, my contract ran out that year. They tried to sell me to Sheffield United in January. They rang me up. Well, my agent told me they've accepted a fee from Sheffield United for whatever. And I said, well, my contract's up at the end of the season, so I might as well just see it out. And that's what I did.
Yeah, and I think it was saying that I've read somewhere that you said that Brendan Rodgers came into Reading and kind of wanted to take you back even though you had been let go. Is that correct?
My contract ran out. They didn't have a choice. Brendan came in, went for a meeting with him. He asked me what I'm doing. And I said, well, I'm looking at other things because I've been here 4 years. He said, well, this is how he spoke to me, how he's going to work everything when he took over as Reading manager. He said he would like me to come sign for them again. And I said, I'll have a think about it. And I went and met other managers, spoke to other clubs and ended up signing for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I suppose it would have been a bit of an odd feeling, I suppose, sort of leaving and then being drawn back in. You did, however, play under him in the Premier League, I think it was. That was when Brendan was still at Swansea. How was that as a manager? He obviously was a big fan of you to have brought you up to that league then. And how was he as a manager to play under?
Yeah, he's a quality manager, good coach as well. I always say his training sessions and organisation, everything, preparation for games. I don't know if I've played under anyone that's better. So it's no surprise to me how well he did up in Scotland and how well he's doing for Leicester. So, you know, and he did well at Liverpool as well. He had done a great job and nearly took him to the title. He's a top coach and, you know, one of someone I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things you decided to do then, had a sort of few stints around the Championship, League One, everything. You went abroad to some interesting clubs, Thailand and Greece. You ended up in. And would you recommend those sort of moves to a sort of fellow pro now? Is it a sort of a move that you enjoyed doing, sampling different cultures, playing in different leagues? How was that going for you?
I wouldn't recommend anyone to go Greece. It's all corrupted there. Yeah, but yeah, it was an experience, and then, you know, you don't know until you go and try it. So I'm glad I did, and if any youngster or any older player asks me about the place, I could give them my experience and, you know, my advice, and then it'll be up to them. But yeah, Thailand was a good experience, different, completely different, other side of the world, different time. Yeah, but great place. The football's quite young, man. I think it's 25 years old or something like that. It'll build in the future, and you know, if a young player couldn't get anything here, you know, I would recommend, because you know, it's going to get better out there.
Yeah, and is it going? It's kind of interesting when you have those sort of opportunities come about to you. What sort of other countries were looking at you then? Were you given opportunities because of, you know, a lot of places such as the MLS, yeah, China get talked about a lot.
I was in China when I got a call about Thailand. I was on my way back from China. I was going to come back home because where I went to China, it wasn't what they told me before I got there. So I got a call about Thailand, and I think it was a 5-hour flight from China to Thailand. So I jumped on that and then went down, had a look, and I liked the setup, and I thought, you know, let's give it a go.
Yeah, when you've since then come back to the UK and have had a bit of non-league stints, what are you up to now, and how are you finding it, particularly with the coronavirus and everything?
We were still playing till we're not back in lockdown now. So yeah, just still playing a little bit and, you know, do a bit of coaching and that. So yeah, it's not my job anymore. I'm not a professional, so I had a good career and enjoyed it, and now it's time for me to share my experience with younger players and, you know, give them a bit of guidance.
You say coaching, then is that your sort of hopes for a sort of full-time post-retirement?
Yeah, I will do, but I don't want to jump in it because I know someone. I want to earn it, like, you know, even if I have to start managing non-league in the next few years or something, that's what I'll do, and then just build my way up the same way as I did as a player. No, it's not going to be easy, but, you know, I've made it as a player, so it's going to be tougher, but I'm up for it.
Absolutely. And what is the Leroy Lita playing philosophy then? Is it sort of 4-4-2 with wingers like Steve Coppell days, or is it Brendan Rodgers passing?
It depends what squad you got. We all like to play beautiful football, but if you ain't got the squad to do it, you can't do it. Now, I think I've not experience in managing professionally, but one thing I know, you have to work with what you got, and that's very important. We would love to play amazing football, but the main thing, most important thing, is to get results. So I don't have one. I'll have one when I see players in front of me, the squad in front of me, and I know what they can do, and that's, I'll try and get the best out of them that way.
Well, Leroy, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you tonight. Thank you very much for coming on. My final question is quite a simple one, hopefully, and that's, let's say it's 10 years down the line, you started your managerial career going quite nicely, the phone rings and it's the Medeski Stadium number that you recognise on your phone. How quickly do you hop down the M4 and straight into the dugout there?
Well, if I'm manager of Real Madrid, I'm not answering. No, I'm joking. We'll see. But you can't think like that. So we'll see, and I'll hopefully get a good opportunity in the future. I'm not going to say where and what, but I wouldn't turn red in that. No.
Yeah, take it one step at a time. That's Steve Coppell way, isn't it? Thank you for coming on, then, Leroy. Well, it's been really nice chatting to you tonight.
No problem, mate. Take care, yeah?
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.